This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay. Now we have the official offer the Nuggets made to Peyton Watson. I'm going to tell you why. I don't blame Peyton Watson at all. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to make some comparisons today. Who is the Rob Walton of the Nuggets? And even the Avalanche. But specifically the Nuggets. Nuggets did hire an assistant coach. Some people think that's a bad move. I'm going to get to that. DeMar DeRozan's name is coming up. Also, poll question of the day stemming from a conversation yesterday. Which local-ish team are you most interested in on the college football side? Surprise, surprise. Not a surprise. I'll tell you who is winning the vote so far. We'll get to a lot of that. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies will join us today. Please don't trade Hunter Goodman. The whole show starts right now. Show, and that is Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass, getting rocking and rolling here today. If you want to chime in on the conversation, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Peyton Watson. That's that. Yesterday was Spencer Jones in the news. People had some mixed emotions, mixed feelings about the Nuggets, not necessarily bringing him back into the fold, but matching what the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to do with the $12 million over 2 years. I don't think he's quite worth $6 million. If you can offload contracts like Zeke Nagy and whatnot, then maybe it's not as big a deal. The Nuggets are certainly trying to get out of the second apron with or without Peyton Watson, because if they can get out of the second apron before having to make a decision, they can sign and trade Peyton Watson if they believe like he's not going to be here long term. He doesn't necessarily want to be here long term. I don't know the answer to that question. Does Peyton Watson want to be here? I'll tell you this: we do have the official word from several media outlets, and this one I have pulled up specifically is from Bleacher Report. We do have the number that the Nuggets, and we talked about it yesterday, it's kind of a rumor, but according to Tony Jones of The Athletic, the Nuggets did offer a 5-year, $70 million deal that is on the table for Peyton Watson. 5-year, $70 million total, which would come out to be, what, $14 million per year? Which Christian Brown is in the average, let's just say average is $23, $24 million. So obviously would be $10 million or so under that. And about half, 50% less than what the Nuggets said they would be willing to match if another team made Peyton Watson an offer of $30 million a year. Now, on one hand, I can see why this looks like a cunning move by the Nuggets. They're locking him out. They're blackballing him, kind of. They're saying, hey, anybody that's willing to pay Peyton Watson crazy money that maybe he's not worth just yet, we're willing to match that. So then what happens is, oh, we want Peyton Watson. We would make him an offer, but not. They're going to match up to $30 million. Our guy Chris Dempsey told us yesterday the Nuggets let it be known early in the offseason that they would be willing to match any offer of Peyton Watson up to $30 million. Well, clearly, whether you're favorable for Peyton Watson's future and you think he is going to be that guy or you're not, I would imagine we all can kind of say he's probably closer to the 20 million mark. So, and most teams look at the same thing. Most teams look at that and say, yeah, I'm not going to give him $10 million more, especially in the second apron world. You don't gamble as much in the second apron world. You just don't. You don't take a chance on a guy you don't know much about. Now, that's going to hurt, you know, guys that are... It's going to hurt GMs when they're trying to predict a guy's future, because you might think that he's going to be all that in a bag of chips, but can you afford to take that risk? The Nuggets clearly don't have a problem with that. They've done it a few times now. Christian Brown being the most recent guy they gave probably too much money to. Maybe Spencer Jones, but that's not like one of those monster contracts that it's impossible to move off of unless the guy's just terrible. In this situation, if you're a team that's interested in Peyton Watson, you might be very interested, but not for $30 million. Knowing that the Nuggets would offer that, would match that, basically blocks all the teams that are very interested in Watson. Blocks them out. Pushes them away. The business side of my brain goes, smart move by the Nuggets, but you have to forget, Michael, what are these players? They're people. They look at that. Peyton Watson and his camp certainly look at that and say, whoa, you're not willing to pay us $30 million unless somebody else is. That's what you're saying. Now, who knows if they would actually match an offer of $30 million. They said they would. That could be, what did Dempsey tell us yesterday? It's playing chicken with the rest of the league. Go for it. Give them 30. See what happens. We will match it. But maybe not. If I'm truly Peyton Watson in this situation, I feel like I'm getting screwed. I know. I heard Tanner and Brian talking this morning on Good Morning NoCo. Tanner saying, I'm not. Why would you feel sorry for Peyton Watson? It's not really a matter of feeling sorry for Peyton Watson. But this is a business. If you're being told that your value is in the 20 millions, and maybe a team would be willing to give you 20-some million, well, they're not going to mess with it. Because the Nuggets have already said they're going to match up to 30. So he's a restricted free agent, which means he can get a term sheet with anyone that's interested. But then the Nuggets can then match that. They could risk going deep into the second apron. They could be even deeper in cap hell for the next two seasons. But it's not really, to me, Mike, it's not a matter of feeling sorry for the guy. I find myself torn between the two entities here. But I would have said this, Mike. Here's what I would have done. Tenzer and Wallace, whoever's throwing these numbers out there. From the beginning of the offseason, I think it would have been cleaner. I know they wanted to scare teams. I know they did. I think it would have been cleaner to say, we will have a serious conversation about matching any offer that goes to Peyton Watson. I don't know that I would have put the number on it. Putting the number on it kind of seems to make it real. And that also seems to scare teams off. Denver might not be even willing to pay him 20. They offered him $14 million a year. They might not actually be willing to give him 20. So if a team were to offer him 20, Denver might think long and hard about it and say, you know what, it's not in the stars for us right now, so we're going to have to let him walk. But by throwing the $30 million bat signal in the air, then you have all the teams saying, I'm out. They're going to match 30 mil. I'm not touching it. And then for Denver to reverse that, not reverse that, but then on the other hand, offer half of that. I would, if I were Peyton Watson's camp, I would be saying, wait a second. You said you'd be willing to pay 30, which means somewhere in your brain, you think this guy is worth, it could be worth $30 million, but you're not willing to even get him into the 20s on this deal. And I get it. He hasn't proven that he is that guy yet. So much of this is a lot like the Bo Nix effect with the Broncos. There is so much of this, oh, we saw him do it for a very small stint. And in Bo Nix's case, we saw him do it in portions of games. Watson's was, you know, what? Was portions of games. The Broncos had the least unproductive offense in quarters 1 and 3 than almost any team in the league last year, Mike. So, yeah, to say Bo Nix only did it in portions of games is 100% true.
Yes, but again, my pushback is criticism of the offensive play calling. I think this year is going to be a better look at what Bo Nix can do. Nuggets.
Either way, he didn't. You know, he wasn't completing some of those passes. The Broncos were leading for a good chunk of the season until maybe the last quarter of the season in punts and three and outs and punts. So is that play calling? Is that Bo not completing taking advantage of the chances he got? Is that not having an effective run game? There's a lot of things that go to it. But not every time when you watch Bo Nix did you just instantly go to, well, that wasn't his fault he threw that incomplete pass. That wasn't his fault he didn't make that read.
Certainly was his fault when he threw that interception against the Cowboys, right. Which where the hell was he looking?
The point is not to knock Nix here. It's to say that we have a problem here, and I don't know how this is in other sports cities, but we do have a problem here in the state of Colorado where we overhype, and then when the player is good, we tend to be underwhelmed. And Peyton Watson lives in the world of overhyped right now, I think to some, not to everyone. I'm torn. He has the making. He has the body type of a potential star in the league. We saw that show its head to us, show its face to us in about a month of basketball. Not to say the other months of basketball that he played were bad. It's just we really saw him ramp up. Was it in November or December? I think it was December. And that was really good. The problem the Nuggets have gotten into in the past with several guys, some at crazy contracts, some at still unacceptable contracts, is they overhype. Christian Brown helped win you a championship as a rookie. Was pretty good once he got into the starting role a year after that. Apparently that was good enough to give him $23 million. Zeke Nagy. That was Calvin Booth just trying to read the tea leaves and say, hey, this guy's going to be good. There was really nothing on the floor that we saw that warranted $7 million a year. At least Spencer Jones is on the floor, and we can actually see him make shots and play defense on a regular basis.
How much money does Jokic make a year?
A lot. 60-something. Why?
I'm just curious, because you're talking $6 million, $7 million, and then obviously the earned at $60 million a year, Jokic.
Joker's at 59 this year and 62 next year. No, almost 63. You have Jamal Murray's going to be at 50 this year. Aaron Gordon's at $34 million for rounding up. Cam Johnson's at 23. Christian Brown's at 21.
Is Jamal Murray worth 50?
Last year, regular season, Jamal Murray was.
Postseason?
Not this year. That's how it goes, though. There's a lot of players you make offers to that it fluctuates. Maybe they don't live up to that top bill. Maybe they do. Maybe they outplay their contract. Peyton Watson, last year, when he was healthy, outplayed his rookie contract. But did he play it up to be $30 million? Who's the bad guy in this story? Is it the Nuggets or is it Peyton Watson? Diehard Nuggets fans tell you it's on Peyton Watson. The guy hasn't earned anything yet. Take $14 million and, you know, just earn it. Sign a 5-year deal. Well, if he believes that he's worth more than that, if he truly is getting that sense from his agency, and his agency's not going to lie to him, they want more money, then you'd be silly to lock in 5 years. You'd be silly to lock in 5 years at $14 million.
The culture of sports is the culprit.
How's that? How so?
Well, you have the business of sports versus the player in sports, and it's all some kind of, and I'm not necessarily saying it's a problem, but it's all kind of a chess game.
Yeah,
they're going against other teams.
Yes,
they're playing chess. Against the wishes of the player. They're working overall in their self-interest onto, like, how can we win? Also, how can we make money?
But
it's just, I'm not criticizing it because I love capitalism, but it's just, I think there's a lot
But you can also play too much chess where you play yourself out of anything.
I feel like the Nuggets have been doing that.
If Peyton Watson simply just takes his player option, then, and that would be, what is it? What would it be, 6 months? Like, he's not even on their payroll as of right now. So I don't remember what that was. Can you look up what Peyton Watson's contract is for next year's player option is, Michael, for 26-27? Because it's not a lot. And that would be him saying, I'm gambling on myself, but you guys also didn't believe and blah, 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 all the reasons why. And for that reason, I'm out. A little Shark Tank reference there. For that reason, I'm out. He goes elsewhere.
Love Shark Tank.
Did you find it? Sorry, I distracted you with Shark Tank.
His cap hit will be $13 million for this upcoming season.
Okay. So, and they're basically offering him, I think it's even less. I think cap hit is different than what he's actually going to get. But they're basically offering him a little north of that. And that's just not, what is he worth? If Christian Brown's 21 this year, Peyton Watson to me is better than Christian Brown, so I say he's worth 22. So I'd be asking for 22. Might still be too high. Here's the thing, and this is why the Nuggets are in such a tough predicament right now. If you get the best case scenario, and Peyton Watson signs with you a 5-year deal, let's just say they get him up. Watson's camp gets this thing up to 20. If he's bad, and Christian Brown's not really living up to it, and Cameron Johnson, you have three guys that's essentially almost $70 million that are not living up to that contract. Denver, for insurance purposes, really needs to move off of the Spencer Jones contract. They're about, what, $2 million into the second apron. If they were to trade Zeke Nagy, they would get right out of the second apron. Then the backup plan is, okay, Watson's not showing signs that he wants to be here long term. We can't afford that, so we can do a sign and trade. They cannot do a sign and trade while you're in the second apron. That is one of the penalties that you are given for being in the second apron. You cannot do a sign and trade. So you would essentially get nothing out of an unrestricted free agent if he does not sign with you. Yes, Michael.
According to SpotTrack.com, which covers salaries from all kinds of sports, Aaron Gordon is 19.4% of the cap hit for 2026-2027.
$33 million.
Is he worth that?
Healthy, yes. Unhealthy, not even close.
Jamal Murray is 30.4 and Jokic is 35.8.
I've been critical of Jamal lately, and I know I was like, I made my peace with moving on from him, but I do still think at Murray's best, he's worth that. His best version of Murray is definitely a $50 million plus guy.
But are we getting the best not version of him all the time?
That's all. Take as old as time. You don't get the best version of Jamal Murray every single night. You get the best version of Joker. You almost get the best version. Even his worst version is still one of the best in the league. That's just how good he is. They don't want to move off of Cameron Johnson, we're told. They've had offers. They've had, well, maybe not offers. I should say they've had people reach out and ask about Cam Johnson, not willing to move on from him. But they're in a sticky spot, man. And I can't say 100% that I think what they did was wrong to try to block out all these teams from giving him $30 million or try to scare teams. I just think the optics of, we would match 30, here's our offer of 14. Again, it says that you would be willing to do it only if another team was interested. But if another team's not interested in that, you're willing to do $14 million. That's half as much.
According to that same website, the Nuggets are the only team in the second apron and one of just a handful of teams in the first apron.
Yeah, that's why they have to get out of the second apron. That should be the first order of business. Can you move? Michael, I will buy you a Mountain Dew the day if the Nuggets can remove Zeke Nagy from their payroll. Because last year it was like, wow, you got rid of Michael Porter Jr. That guy was still a player. That guy was still good. You just needed a better bench.
Zeke Nagy making 4.5%.
And he's at 7.4 million.
Salary.
I mean, he's your, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's your sixth highest player, Mike. Highest paid player. He's over Spencer Jones, Julian Strother, Marvin Bagley, Tyus Jones. I would imagine all of those guys are going to get more playing time than Zeke Nagy. And that's been the case the last 3 years. He's your sixth highest paid guy, and you have four other dudes. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. was paid, what was it, $2 to $4 million last year? He was a candidate for sixth man of the year, yet Zeke Nagy's making $3 to $4 million more than him. So that was a bad contract, and it continues to plague the Denver Nuggets. That's, you know, all the positives, negatives you can say about Calvin Booth, that's certainly one of the big negatives. There is a player that might be willing to play in the vet minimum, which the Nuggets, being in the second apron right now, could still bring on. We'll talk about that. They did make a coaching hire. A very significant name in the NBA will be sitting on the Nuggets bench as a key assistant coach. And we'll talk about those two things coming up next. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Volleyball and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
This rock got to roll, so I hit the road and made my getaway.
I want to thank Interior Sprinkler Systems for being a big part of what we do here at this radio station and on this show. Sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspection, fire suppression and safety. That's the one you want to call. If you got a business or a warehouse, something that would call for that, there's only one name to write down, and that's Interior Sprinkler Systems. Go to interiorsprinkler.com. You got to have it. Got to have it, Mike. Protect your stuff. Protect your business. Protect the things that you own. Interior Sprinkler Systems. And we're going to be, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems, we got a remote coming up, Mike. August 28th. That's a month away. The very first UNC Bears football game under the lights at Nottingham Field. Ed Lamb in his fourth season, the Bears finally got lights. And yeah, it feels like they're way behind the times, but the fact is they got it done. There will be lights. I am very excited. There will be lights. Very excited about this. And we're going to be live. Coach Speak's going to be out there at 10 o'clock. The tailgate's starting up around that time. And then, of course, I'll be out there with the whole show. The fellas, the gang, we're getting together for Rocky Mountain kickoff, which will feature college talk and NFL talk this year with Mike Dance and Tanner Schwint and Dustin Urbis, the dude down the hall dancing with himself and T-Money. We're going to be out there till 4 o'clock, so it's going to be a party. And I want you guys to go get tickets. Get out there. We got to make this huge for Greeley, Colorado, man. Fill that damn stadium up. I want noise. I want the noise to be brought, Michael. Bring the noise.
I haven't bought tickets yet, but I might be going.
Well, don't buy tickets yet, Mike. I got a plan for you. I got a place for you.
On the field?
No.
I'll play safety.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have you on the sidelines. No, I don't trust you over there.
I think if you had 15 me, so like me and 14 clones on the field, so like extra guys, we would still lose.
Oh, yeah. Why are you saying that? Like I would debate you on that. Of course we would. You could have 100 of you.
Now, 100 of me, eventually, like, we would make the tackles.
No, I don't believe you would. I don't believe
we would make tackles. One of us would be like, okay, I got to tackle him.
Yeah, after
and
the
then
gain,
he'd get
like
knocked
20
out,
yards.
But then, like, four guys would jump on top of the guy.
Yeah, after he gains, like, 20 yards. He's do that every time.
No, but we have 100 guys. And, yes, he can throw over all of us.
Yeah.
But still, we would cause some sort of fumble because the guy's like, I'm going to run around these 20 Micahs, and then he would drop it.
You think really highly of you and your 99 Michaels.
Luftballons.
Yeah. I'm excited for that, though. We're going to be out there interviewing coaches. I don't know if we'll be talking to players much or whatever, but it's an exciting day. And this is, Michael, you know how much I've talked about, like, with CSU at Canvas Stadium and when I went to the Rocky Mountain Showdown a couple years ago and just the tailgating scene. It was awesome. I want that to be a special scene at CSU. I want UNC to have special night scenes with these lights now. I want it to be something amazing for this community. And it's only going to help grow by getting more people not only to your games, but then they come to your games and they think, man, this might be a cool college to go to. So I go to this college. Oh, wow, this is a nice community. I actually fell in love with it. I'm going to be here. And I'm gonna grow in the business world. I'm going to raise a family.
And they have a really great radio station in the area.
Yes.
We're gonna keep people in Greeley because they love the whole show so much.
Yeah, if that's what causes you to move here because of the whole show, then okay.
Although you could listen to the whole show on 1310kfki.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Yeah,
we got a caller. Maybe they would move, but still listen.
Do we have Lonster on the line?
We do.
Lonster.
Hey, Brady, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's July 28th. We're almost at, July is the worst month of all the months. It's the hottest month. It's just not fun.
Well, it is, but you know what? Just go with the flow here.
I'm trying. What's on your mind, my friend?
You know what? If you had 15 colognes with Micah, you know you'd be hearing out on the field?
Let me guess.
Go Broncos.
That'd be a lot of little minions running around going, go Broncos.
No, we wouldn't be able to say that because we'd be out of breath.
Well, you know what? That's your problem right there.
Yeah, it is your problem. Lonster, who would win, 100 Michaels or 11 guys on a Division I college football
guys.
Team? Yeah,
100 Michaels, that's scary right there. You know,
100 Michaels taking on 11 Division I athletes.
I mean, they'll be sacked out by halftime. You'll be calling for paramedics to clean up the field.
That's true, Mike.
Oh, I forgot about injuries. Yeah, like half of us would go down by running.
You guys would go down pretty quickly, so you'd be that 100 would dwindle pretty fast.
I pulled a hamstring in the locker room.
Yeah. Lonster, what else, man?
Hey, you'll be calling for air evac. Just take them to fly them to the nearest hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Let me jump on your poll here, who I'm excited for this year for college football in this area. I'm going to go with the CSU Rams because we got a new coach in there and a whole new team, and plus a new quarterback could take over here a little bit.
I don't even know who the new quarterback's going to be, but we do know it's going to be a new quarterback. So There's a quarterback duel or battle that will be starting up when training camp starts for CSU, which should be very, very soon. But a lot of people kind of believe it's going to be Haas Haney. So that, I'm guessing, is him. But we have heard from our insiders, then Kevin Lytle, that as we start this, it will be a quarterback race, a quarterback competition.
I think that's going to make it a little fun here for sure. You know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lonster, appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, you guys have a good day. And for Micah, go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
He does it better than you, Mike. The Denver Nuggets hired Dave Yeager. They hire coach Dave Yeager to be their assistant coach. To help David Adelman grow as a head coach. Some people have an issue with this. Well, why do you? Because Dave Yeager obviously has been around the league a while. You know, he was a head coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. He was an assistant coach for the Grizzlies in 07 and 08. Then he took over as the head coach. Stayed there for quite a few years, man. He was there. When he was there with Memphis from 2013 to, well, I guess just 2016, they were a playoff team. Every year he was there. He was let go and then hired by Sacramento. He was there for 3 years. They failed to make the playoffs, weren't very good. But he had a moment there with Memphis where he was pretty damn good. And since then he's been on the bench a lot. He was under Doc Rivers as an assistant coach with the Sixers in 2020. He was he was a consultant to J.B. Bickerstaff with Cleveland in the 23-24 season. And then recently was with the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant coach, also by Doc Rivers, who loves himself some Dave Yeager. And then, of course, you know, his next step is now with the Denver Nuggets. I don't think it's a bad move at all. I think having, and in worst case scenario, if David Adelman's terrible next year in his first, it'd be his second year already. Feels like 3 years because he did have that playoff run, but last year was essentially his rookie season as head coach. And if he's bad for whatever reason, which I don't think he's going to be bad enough to be fired, you have Dave Yeager there. You can promote quickly. He's supposed to help him on the bench. Shams reporting from ESPN that having his voice on the bench will be big. He quotes longtime NBA coach Dave Yeager has agreed on a deal to become the lead assistant coach for the Denver Nuggets on head coach David Adelman's staff. I think having him as an assistant coach can only help. If you can afford it and it makes sense, go for it.
Does this go against the apron? Okay, well, that's good. Can they have like 1,000 assistant coaches, or is there a limit?
You don't want that many cooks in the kitchen, Mike.
No, but I'm just saying, like, could they, if they go more than three, is that like a max?
I don't know. What I love about Yeager is the fact that he brings a defensive mindset. In his first season as head coach of the Grizzlies, they had the NBA's eighth-ranked defense. In his second season, they jumped to the league's second-best defense. As a top assistant for the past 5 seasons, he has had a top 12 defense in the league in 4 of them. This is a big move. This is actually a really good move for Denver. I've been kind of negative so far this week. It's only Tuesday on the Nuggets, but this Dave Yeager move, I'm 100% in on. He's a defensive-minded coach who could help instill a defensive-minded philosophy mindset into this roster. So, yeah. I love it. I don't know why people are bitching about this move, saying, well, why are you hiring essentially another head coach to be an assistant? No, he's been an assistant for the past 3 years now, 4 years, whatever it is. He's kind of the role he's in at this point, and he's good at it.
Rolling with it.
So, yeah, I think this is a very good move. So, well done by the Nuggets. DeMar DeRozan has been released by the Sacramento Kings, of course. Here's the question. You know, the Kings acquired him in a sign and trade from the Bulls on a 3-year, $73.7 million deal in the summer of 24. The Kings waived him this month. They could not find a trade partner due in part to his $26 million cap hit, so they had to waive him. DeRozan wouldn't start, I don't believe. He would fit more of that sixth-man role. And he does, you know, he would bring scoring. I think he averaged 18 points a game last year. Also kind of a defensive boost off the bench. And that would address two major weaknesses for the Nuggets, bench unit and defense. The Nuggets ranked just 20th in the NBA in bench scoring last season. Of course, we know how that all ended up. I'm curious to see. Reports are indicating that there is a willingness on his part to sign for the veterans minimum, which is what the Nuggets could do, which would right now be the only way they could get DeMar DeRozan, is to get him on a vet minimum because they are in the second apron. Now, again, if you can get out of that, give him a little bit more. But on the surface, reports are indicating that he would be willing to play for the vet minimum. Now, the Heat and the Cavs are both interested. What kind of role would he have with those teams? Is it a better role with those teams compared to the Nuggets? This would be a move I would sign off on. I would be interested in DeMar DeRozan playing for the Nuggets, obviously, if you could do it for a vet minimum. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. There's some Nuggets stuff for you today. Certainly not the brightest of times for Denver. I do think the Dave Yeager news was certainly positive, and the idea that DeMar DeRozan could be a Nuggets good, but there's still like so many things they have to figure out. Can they get out of the second apron? Can they get Peyton Watson? If they get out of the second apron, do they sign and trade? It's not exactly the easiest, breeziest offseason for the Nuggets thus far. 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I wanted to have some fun with this one from yesterday because we are ramping up to the college football season. And, of course, we talk a lot of college sports, games, whatever on this show. Specifically, we get into kind of the localish teams. Mike, any guesses? Yesterday we talked about what's the most interesting story as far as local football teams to you this year. Between Colorado, Colorado State, Northern Colorado, or Wyoming, I could only enter four, so I did. I left Air Force out. Sorry, Troy Calhoun. I'm interested in you. I just don't think you're winning this poll. Any guesses as to who's winning on the vote here? Quite a few votes here.
That was a very, very long question. I'm going to say
which CSU. Localish college football team is more interesting to you this season? That's not a long question. Sorry,
the way you phrased it.
I'm sorry you can't handle on. A question that's more than two sentences. Do you like? That's three. That's your. I know that's your. That's more your area. Sorry. Which one? Which one's winning?
I think that the poll question that is the answer to it, it's going to be CSU. I think people are most interested in CSU.
Your
right
response
now.
Was longer than my question.
And you can find out who is correct, 1310kfka.com, Apple Podcasts,
question.
And Spotify.
I'm sorry to my great Hall of Famer, Go Pokes. And you know what? Our Wyoming insider, Cody Tucker, who will be joining us soon in maybe a couple weeks. I am not interested in Wyoming this year. Why?
Oming.
I'll be watching. Make me interested in this team. I like Jay Sovell. I'm rooting for the guy. But I didn't see a lot of reasons to make me excited about this. They good defense. I like their defense.
Are you partially not excited about it because they're in one tiny little weak conference and CSU's in another tiny little weak conference?
CSU's in the Conference of Champions, Michael.
Yes, and Washington has more championships than four.
Nobody,
of those
can teams you
combined.
Stop talking about Washington? What state are we in? What state are we in?
I didn't do the calculations for CU.
This show from now on, we're going to start talking about the Chiefs. We're going to do 3 hours of Chiefs talk. That's the equivalent of what you're doing here.
Former Pac-12 team versus
current
Pac-12 team.
Nobody cares. You said it once. Nobody cares about Washington. They're the least interesting team in the United States of America.
When it comes to their quarterback suddenly leaving, then coming back.
I'm more interested in that one we couldn't pronounce the other day. Quiznos or whatever. We came up with a team. We couldn't figure out the pronunciation. I'm more interested in that team than I am Washington.
I have no idea what you were talking about.
Because I don't know either. It was a team. We had a list of names. We had a schedule. We were looking at Air Force's schedule, and they're playing some team with a Q or something, and we didn't know where it was from. And we figured out the pronunciation. I'm more interested in that team. I don't even know how long they footballed. I don't even know.
They may have started football last year.
They could have. I'm more interested in that than Washington.
Well, it's possible. It's partially, I'm guessing, because Washington's not in any of the conferences that we follow the most.
No, it's probably because you like them so
much.
They're
in one of the whiny conferences that's like,
it's
we're
true.
Better than you, and we want everything.
Colorado State is winning this poll today. 60% say Colorado State. Any guesses as to who's second?
I'm going to say CU.
Yeah. 24. Who is third? By
UNC.
Yeah. And Wyoming is at 6.7% of the votes.
I'm putting UNC at number one, then CSU, then CU, and
it's not,
Wyoming exists.
I'm interested in UNC. It's not the most interesting story. It's not. It's just not. Now, Ed Lamb in his fourth season, the lights. Can they build off of what they did last year? Certainly the improve was upon us last year. Can they build on that? But it is probably still Jim Mora and the new Pac-12 Conference of Champions. And then I think the poll's right. 60% CSU, I'm there. 24% CU, yeah, because is it going to be a dumpster fire or is it going to be a story of redemption? 24% saying CU. And 9% saying Northern Colorado, 6.7%. My guy, Sko, C-Mart's buff, says this was a bait post by me. A bait post. And then Go Pokes, a different Go Pokes, says, shocking for a guy who reports for the sheep. I ain't reporting anything. I'm asking a freaking question. God, buff. buff Wyoming.
You're not
fans.
A reporter.
You guys are babies.
Lytle is a reporter. Why isn't he whining to Lytle?
I don't know, but you guys are babies. Oh, I report on all. I don't report. I'm not a freaking reporter. Okay, I talk about these teams. And I talk about all four. Do I talk about CSU a little bit more and UNC probably a little bit more? Yeah, I do.
There's more transparency.
Make me talk about you more. Don't annoy me. CU, I can't talk about 2-3 wins and a coach that talks all the time. Talky. That's all he does.
And then bans people because they ask him legit questions.
He shuts our guy down.
I thought you were going to say you can't... comment negatively about CU because you'll get a death threat.
I can comment negatively about all these teams. I was so annoyed with Jay Norvell last year and his playbook and that whole freaking situation. I'm so glad they moved on, and I liked Jay Norvell as a person. He was good on the show, but I was ready to move on. So yeah, I could talk negatively about these. I'm not reporting on the sheep. Go. That's not even the Go Pokes. That's not the Go Pokes. This is a different Go Pokes. 11:52 the time. I'm getting my blood going here, Mike. My blood pressure's up already.
And I had nothing to do with it, by the way, so don't blame me.
I will try not to blame you. All right, 11:52. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show. I'm fired up. Which team are you more interested in this upcoming season? We'll be right back.
Fellas guide you to work every day. Hear traffic updates and Good Morning NOCO weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. News on Kyle Shanahan's situation. Also, Spencer Smith will join us. Let's talk some Rockies. Spencer, of course, from DNVR Rockies. Latest on Jonathan Cooper. All that and more coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.